Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I would have just kind of assumed he was only throwing at the Colorado Pro Day, right? Like, that was my assumption from the start, is that he's only going to throw at the team and everyone can come watch. And you know everybody's going to go watch. It's Shedeur Sanders, and it's the pull for Colorado. I'm not 100% sure whether or not Travis Hunter's going to be there. I imagine so, considering it's the team's Pro Day. But that alone is going to have all 32 teams being like, well, let's take a look. Let's make sure we do our due diligence here and see both of these guys. Because if one of them falls, I want to know I'm taking the right guy. You're going to go watch them. But the other thing today, Shedeur Sanders appearing on NFL Network. And I want to play the clip for you here in just a second. But I want to ask you, after you listen to this, at 216-474-0092, whether or not you're intrigued or turned away by the comments that Shedeur made. Again, here's what he had to say, sort of about his ability to turn around a franchise and why he'd be able to do it. Audio courtesy of NFL Network.
I know the recipe of it. I was heavily involved in, I was almost the GM for both of the teams because I knew what pieces I wanted. And, you know, when we got to Colorado, I would say was stable in the college area to where I knew exactly what I wanted. It wasn't what just coach saying, these are the guys we're going to get. It was me actually going out there, getting those guys, knowing what receivers are going to fit my eye, knowing everybody has to complement each other, knowing, you know, which O-line guys we got to get, we got to secure. So I was heavily involved in that process from transitioning from Jackson State to Colorado, so I kind of have like a different type of viewpoint. I wasn't just going out there just playing ball.
Now, I think that excites a lot of people, and it's going to make a lot of people upset, and I'll play both sides of it. I think that excites a lot of people, and I think that's actually going to be the minority in this conversation, but we'll find out. Because when you hear that, you think, oh, that's a guy that loves football. Right, if you're out there hand-selecting your players, you're invested, you care about what the team's doing, and you're actively recruiting for your team, I think that makes sense. I think you're out there probably trying to spin this where it's a lot of help. I think, though, on the other side of that, and what people aren't going to like, Shedeur basically just told you at some degree he was the GM for Colorado. As a quarterback, I was the GM. You know what people don't like about GM quarterbacks? I mean, think about who they are right now. Like, the one GM quarterback I can really think of in the league right now is currently holding up the rest of the NFL. His name's Aaron Rodgers. He's like the GM quarterback. Hey, if you go and you want to have me on your team, well, I want Nathaniel Hackett here. I want Alan Lazard here. I want Devontae Adams here. Right? He's just handpicking players, and you're sitting there going along with it, going, okay, you'll get your pick. I don't know that Browns fans would want Shedeur to have that kind of control. But when you really break it down, like it or not, Shedeur having that control led to two successful programs. Right? At Jackson State, and maybe he had a little less control at Jackson State, but clearly, I mean, you go there and he dominated in the competition that you were playing. But it was a lower-level competition, so you upgrade to Colorado. But that's where I feel like Shedeur Sanders, the GM quarterback, really came into play where, okay, yeah, I'm handpicking the wide receivers, handpicking the players I wanted to bring with me from Jackson State to Colorado. And then the year after that, it's, okay, I watched this team perform. I know where some of the issues are. Now let me go out and find some guys that might be willing to transfer or freshmen coming in, and I'll recruit those guys to come play here too. And I think there's good and there's bad to that. The good side of it is you truly do have a quarterback that's invested. You have a quarterback that wants to play with certain guys and knows what's going to work for him and is really going to be a leader. At the end of the day, if he's recruiting people to come to your team and he's making a pitch and making a sell and clearly wants to have a certain structure, a certain style to the team, that's leadership. Which for the Cleveland Browns right now, a category where you lack, I think, a lot of. And we talked about this a little bit, but where is the leader for the Cleveland Browns? I would hear fans tell me Kevin Stefanski is not a true leader of men. I think we've learned very obviously and clearly Myles Garrett is not a leader of men. Deshaun Watson is certainly not a leader of this locker room, I can tell you that much. Where is your leadership within this team? There's nobody with a big voice, nobody stepping up and being sort of a head honcho within the Cleveland Browns. It's just a bunch of guys standing in a room. Well, Shedeur Sanders would bring that, whether or not you like it. I think the other side of this is, that might work when dad's the coach. That might work when you're Shedeur Sanders, one of the top college quarterbacks. When you get to the NFL, things just, they work different. You don't get to just recruit guys and say, all right, well, I want him to come here. Like, no, we got to make the financials of that work, Shedeur. We can't just have every guy that you want. We have a salary cap to work under. We have contracts to work around. You can make your pitches to certain guys. I might have you be brought in like, oh, the greatness of Myles Garrett trying to recruit Russell Wilson. Clearly, by the way, that's going very well right now. I might have you do that kind of thing. I might run it past you if you're going to be my starting quarterback. But yeah, like I just can't have you handpicking players being like, come to the Cleveland Browns and then, hey, Andrew Berry, make it work. Or, hey, a GM who's here after Andrew Berry, make it work. I think that side of it's a turnoff. And to it really shows maybe what type of quarterback you as a Browns fan are looking for. Are you looking for the leader who's going to be overly involved, who probably is going to stick his foot in a little bit of places where you don't mind and a little bit of places where you do mind? You're like, okay, take a step back. You're a player for the team. You're not the front office. But it's not going to be a quarterback who doesn't care. It's not going to be a guy who just says, build a roster. I'll sit on the sideline. I'll complain over here. Clearly, if things aren't working, we've heard Shedeur sort of throw his offensive line under the bus. But then he said it right there. Well, the next year I went and I basically handpicked my offensive line. I knew what kind of guys I wanted in this building. I went and got them. Again, does it work when it's not dad's team? Does Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski or whatever regime is thereafter really turn over keys to a young quarterback and let him have that control? And do Browns fans want a quarterback that they're not even fully confident in to have that type of control? And I'll play out a scenario for you. A lot of recruiting happening, obviously, on the side of the Browns. They're going to have their big board. Let's just say you draft Shedeur Sanders. Shador's like, this is really cool. Let's have a conversation on the phone. And he goes, you know what? In the second round, who are you thinking about taking here at the second pick? You go, oh, maybe I really like Travion Henderson. He goes, I don't want to play with that guy. Go get this running back instead. Are you going to then be upset when Shador's handpicking your team in the first year? I think you would be. And again, I don't know that he feels he has that kind of control. He doesn't really strike me as the type of guy, though, that steps into a room and goes, you know what, I'm going to feel this one out. I'm going to wait to see what I can kind of get away with. It really is. I'm going to step into the shoes. Guys, he's Deion Sanders' kid, for crying out loud. That pushes a lot of people away from him. For me, that's an interest. That's a draw. I'm all in for that kind of thing. But you got to understand that as soon as you bring him in the room, he dominates the attention of the room. And he's not going to, oh, let me just sort of wait in the background here and wait for my moment. No, every moment is Shador's moment. Right? I mean, you can put your wrists into the air. Every minute is Shador's minute. He is, for lack of better words, time, right? He's time's son. I don't know that Browns fans are going to love that, though. The way that you operate makes me feel very much like, yeah, it's nice when you have those guys when you're winning, but when you're losing, and I'm like, wow, the offensive line looks really bad. Is Shador handpicking those guys? Because maybe he's not doing it. We should be leaving that to the GM and the scouts and everybody else. But ultimately, I think I was intrigued by the comments. Hey, he's not wrong. If you want a quarterback that's going to turn around a franchise and take it from 3-14, and personally, I don't know that every fan right now in the city feels like a franchise needs turned around at the moment, but they're definitely not facing the right direction. Maybe not turned around, like dug out of the mud and turned around. Maybe the Browns are like, you know, spun before you swing at the pinata kind of turned around. Like, hold on, let me grab you by the shoulders and get you swinging in the right direction. All right? Maybe more down that route. But I think, again, he's showed you that, yes, at the college level, he's done it. But who else is going to take on the pressures of being an NFL quarterback, the pressures of, you know, trying to be the quarterback that has to recruit guys to want to play here, than Shador Sanders? And whether or not he's a great quarterback or you know, if he's absolutely garbage, the first couple of years, like within year two, I'm not saying you're recruiting Amon-Ra St. Brown to come play for the Browns, but there's going to be a pull there. Players are going to know that when they come to play for the Cleveland Browns, if Shador Sanders is there, they're going to get some spotlight. They're going to highlight. They're going to have a chance to progress their career in a way on the field and off the field, because there's going to be attention surrounding the team, and there always will be, no matter what, with Shador here.
If the Browns draft Shador, how many primetime games do they have this year?
Year one, I guarantee you they give you 2-3 minimum. Right? That's for a 3-14 team. Like, that's a lot, guys. Like, you're pretty much guaranteed, what, one? Are you guaranteed one every single year at this
Thursday
point?
Thursday night game, yeah.
Yeah, you're at least guaranteed the Thursday. So, I think you could probably get 2 or 3. Of like, we'll probably throw, and they had way too many this year, but we'll throw you maybe a Thursday night game because you weren't a very good team. We'll toss you on there. We'll give you probably a Sunday or Monday going up against a division rival. We'll probably throw you one other game. Like, if you play the Titans this year, I'm not sure if you do off the top of my head, but if you played the Titans this year, Cam Ward versus Shador Sanders, you think they're not giving that a primetime game? I'm almost positive they're giving that. We had a primetime game this year that was Bears-Commanders. I'm like 95% certain of that. You just take the top two.
I think that
two.
Was a 4 o'clock game.
Was it a 4 o'clock?
Yeah, because the Hail Mary.
Oh. Okay, well, I mean, I don't want to play a 4. So maybe not. Okay, now I'm draft Abdul Carter. Let's switch this up. Well, draft Abdul. I don't want to play at 4. Take it back.
I could be wrong. I could 100% be wrong.
I thought they played a Thursday game. I could be wrong in this scenario, though, too. Bears-Commanders games, believe it or not, within the last couple of years, not very memorable. Again, but they're going to put Shador on primetime television. There's going to be a spotlight there. There's going to be a recruitment there. If you're not intrigued, you're sitting around doing nothing. Like, I think you shouldn't be turned away by this kind of statement. You should be interested in having Shador come here. Now, I don't think you have to love him at 2, but I do kind of want to figure out what spot it would end up being that you just get to a universal acceptance of Shador, where if he dropped in the draft, is it at 33, or is there a pick that you can trade up to where everyone's like, I get you not passing in Shador now? Do you have a spot in mind? 216-474-0092. Maybe we'll go around the room and see if there's a spot here that we can come to a conclusion on as well. It's Jake Volnick with the guys right here. If you think that there's basically a spot in the draft right now, do you think it should be like universally accepted that if Shador dropped and the Browns are sitting at 33 and, okay, because he dropped you at 33 and then you take him and it's okay, is there a spot where you trade back up and you're like, okay, I can't just let him drop any farther. I need to go get him and have him on my team at this point because he might not have been worth the second pick, but when I get to like 20, now it might be worth it. Now, I think a lot of people would look at 33 and just be like, well, he's got a second-round grade on him. Just draft him in the second round. You practically have the top pick in there. Why can't you just go draft him in the second round? Guys, let's be realistic. Is Shador Sanders getting to the second round of the draft? I can sit here and tell you no. You're not going to believe me. I'm a biased individual. I like Shedeur Sanders. I draft him at 2. Brian Baldinger was on with Nick and JP yesterday of NFL Network. If you don't know Baldy, you're sleeping under a rock. One of the most trusted sources you can go to. He'll even tell you Shador's not making it to 33.
I mean, I think you'd be a lot more comfortable taking him at 33 than at 2. I don't know what any of these people do in mock drafts if they know anything about anything. I mean, everybody has a mock draft, so what? If he was there at 33 and you didn't have him taking a quarterback, first of all, I think somebody would trade back into the first round to get Shador if he did drop, if that would happen, just like they did with Lamar Jackson. Baltimore traded with Philadelphia that year to get to number 32 and get him in the first round and get him on a five-year deal. So, I mean, I don't think he would last at 33. I think somebody that needs a quarterback would trade back into the first round. So, you know, if he's there at 27, 28, I would expect somebody to trade back into the first round and take him.
You're just not getting to him at 34 or 33. You're not getting him at 33. It's not happening. How on earth are you going to get Shedeur Sanders, the second quarterback in the draft, to drop all the way to the second round? I mean, legitimately. And if you want to bring 2022 as an example, I slap a hard no on that one. And I'll continue to bring this example to the table. Kenny Pickett was a reach. Every quarterback in there was a third-round draft pick. Most people would agree Shador's either like a high-end first and going to be pushed up for a positional value here in that conversation. But or he is a, at the latest, second-round pick. You have two quarterbacks in this class that are worthy of a first-round pick. Minimum. You might have 3. You're not getting him to drop all the way to you in the second round. There's going to be a team who needs a quarterback. And I threw out the idea that maybe, you know, 20. Right? Do you trade back in at pick 20 to go get him? I picked that number very intentionally, by the way. Because if Shedeur Sanders is sitting there and pick 21 rolls around, the Pittsburgh Steelers are drafting. You think if Pittsburgh doesn't land like Aaron Rodgers, they're not looking at Shedeur at 21 going, Browns passed on him at 2. I got a chance to take a franchise quarterback that teams were considering maybe at the top of this draft here, now at the late end of the first, probably worth a stab. I think you'd have to trade ahead of at least one team who's not going to be willing to just take a risk. Somebody would trade back up. He's not getting to at 33, which is where I have to find a spot. Me personally, that's the number I pick. I pick 20th as sort of the, if you didn't take him at 2, I think everybody should universally accept 20th, it's worth trading back up and getting Shedeur Sanders in the first round. If you get Abdul Carter or take your pick and Shedeur Sanders at 20 and you had to give up, you know, 32 and a fourth or 32 and a third, probably worth it. You just maybe got a defensive end of the future and your quarterback of the future. I could survive without a third round pick, a fourth round pick. It'll be worth it every single time. But again, 216-474-0092. I want to know where you stand on it and whether or not there's a universally accepted spot where you would take him. Let's go out to the phones. Mark is in North Ridgeville. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, Jake. Thanks for taking the call. I really don't understand the love affair with Shedeur Sanders. And just hear me out for a second. I'm looking at Cam Ward, and he had a QBR rating of about 89 through for about 4,300 yards, playing in the SEC with no defenses. Shedeur Sanders, his QBR rating was 75, threw about 4,100 yards, Big 12, no defenses. The kid I like that's getting no run is Jackson Dart. His QBR rating was right around 84, 85, threw for about the same amount of yards. But he played in the SEC with 6 or 7 tough defenses. I would put stock in a kid coming out of the SEC than the 2 that basically, I mean, it was like arena football for Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders every Saturday. I don't know what the love affair is with Sanders. You know, the knock on him is that he holds the ball in the pocket too long. And I mean, we've seen that with Watson. We've seen what that does. So again, I like the kid from Ole Miss, and he's got a strong arm, big arm, and his stats are right up there with Cam Ward's, and he's coming out of the SEC. I give that more stock than the other two.
Mark, I appreciate the call. And it's not going to be a knock on Mark personally, because I've heard this exact take like 9 different times. I will never understand. It is a just accepted solution. Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, and probably Jackson Dart. But like the first two guys could go at the top of the draft. Jackson Dart could fall to the third round. Like there's a gap there. There's a gap for a reason. And Jackson Dart, yes, like he's number 4 on my quarterback big board. He falls right in with that same group of guys. I like him a lot too. I like the other two more, but it's not like this massive margin for me. Well, you can talk about SEC defenses. Okay. In a 24-17 loss to Florida, who I would not consider one of the top premier defenses in the SEC. 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, including an abysmal pick at the end of the game where he looked terrible. Right? They threw his team out of the game. You played Georgia, premier defense in the SEC. 13 for 22, 199 yards, touchdown and a pick. LSU, ranked team, better defense. Went to overtime with them. 284 yards, touchdown and a pick. Like, the games where he actually played the premier defenses are some of the worst games that he played. Naturally so, but this is why I can't just rely solely on stats alone to sell me on, oh, well, is this quarterback good? Yeah, he played in the SEC. Like, the yardage that he racked up, a lot of the touchdowns he racked up, 418 yards, 5 touchdowns. You know who he played? Started the year off against Furman. You call back up, Mark, and tell me where Furman is without looking it up. I might give you the pass. But nobody knows where Furman is. Right? 4 touchdowns, 1 pick, 382 yards. Georgia Southern. Threw for 377 yards back-to-back weeks. Middle Tennessee, Wake Forest. And the list goes on and on. 500 yards, 6 touchdowns. Arkansas, for crying out loud. Like, these are bad teams. They're mid-level tier teams in the SEC where Jackson Dart was making his run. He doesn't play in a NFL-style offense. He plays in a Lane Kiffin offense that's completely predicated on the RPO and running a very fast, very high-style pace, never under center. Doesn't fit Kevin Stefanski. Again, I mean, it's not an attack on Mark, period. I don't want to make it just an attack fully on Mark. But it's just like, I hate that argument. I despise that argument as a whole. To say, not the top two guys, but this guy. I just think, again, Shedeur Sanders, you don't have to be in love with him. You don't have to be in love with Cam Ward. You can like a quarterback better at the price. We're talking the same round, though. Jackson Dart falls into a category just below those two guys. He does. He's just below there. Again, I think you're getting to 20. Jax, do you have a number? You have a number you get to in the draft where 10. You're like 10? You're higher than 10. I am.
If that, maybe even like 6.
Like we're both, and a full disclaimer, because I know you are, but we're both Shedeur at 2 guys.
Yeah, you might, yeah, just do it. Like,
take the quarterback.
Please.
Like, yeah, okay. I think you get into a range, though, where you would have to worry about other teams trading up, obviously, to go get him. You get into a range there past, like, the top 10 where it's like, okay, nobody's probably taking him, right? I think once you get past maybe, like, the Saints, is somebody really taking a quarterback here? Probably not. You get into a range. Like, 21, again, the Steelers pick, could be drafting a quarterback. Could very well take Shedeur if he dropped. That is, like, the absolute lowest, where if he got there and you didn't trade up to get him and he ended up being a stud, I'm looking at the Browns front office and be like, you could have taken him at 2, you could have traded back up at 20, what are we doing? Again, there has to be at least, like, 10. I'm fine if you trade back up, by the way, and get him at 10. That doesn't bother me. Again, I would take him at 2. But I think the universally accepted one probably should be in that, like, 20 range. Or if he dropped to there and the Browns got him, it's just like, okay, yeah, he fell too far. And you couldn't go get anybody else. Let's go back out to the phones. Terry is on his cell phone. Go on, Terry.
Okay, first of all, let's look at it this way. If you need a quarterback and you like a quarterback, I don't care who he is, and you have the number 2 draft, you pick him. You don't worry about dropping back to 20. You don't worry about dropping back to 10. You go ahead and pick him. It's plain and simple as that. And as far as looking at stats and looking at the player, people forget, Shedeur Sanders had no line. He had no running game. All he had was wide receivers in himself. So, you know, you got to look at that. And that's a lot of reasons why he had the sacks he had, because the line sucked. So, you know, if anybody's more pro-ready, mind, body, and soul is Shedeur Sanders. He's got the father to give him every advice he needs to give him, not just playing quarterback, but being in the locker room, being in his hotel room, being at his house or the nightlife or anything you want to name that the NFL players have to go through. He's got the perfect man to go through it. So I think he's the perfect pick for us. You know, Cam, I'll put it like this. If Cam Ward is there, I wouldn't mind taking Cam Ward either. I don't want to act like I'm all down on Cam Ward. But if you trying to fool around and drop back in the draft and thinking he's going to be there, that's when you're going to get burned. And we always say the best position in sports is quarterback, right?
Yep.
So I'm just saying, I don't understand the concept of wanting to fool around with somebody that you can get without having to fool around with it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, of course, Harry. I appreciate the call. We're in the same boat. Like I said, I'm draft Shedeur at 2. If he's there, I'm all for taking him. I just don't think everybody's at that spot. Like, the example that was brought up earlier this week, I think Albert Breer was on with Nick and JP and brought this to the table. Of like, guys, it's kind of the Bo Nix situation. Like, it was hard to find a scout, a GM that loved Bo Nix in the first round. The thing was, the Broncos loved Bo Nix in the first round. They looked at him and said, that's our quarterback. He's going to change our franchise. He does exactly what we want him to do. They took him and they turned into a playoff team. I'm not saying that if you're the Browns, you're immediately turning into a playoff team, but it's the premise that if you really like a quarterback, why even toy around with the idea that he's going to drop? Again, just draft him at 2. Definitely not letting him get past 20. It feels to me more like, well, that would honestly, if the Browns traded back up to get Shedeur Sanders, everyone afraid of possibly taking a desperation pick at quarterback, I'd be way more afraid the Browns trading back up into the first round to take Shedeur would be a desperation move for quarterback than just drafting one at 2. At least the sell if you take him at 2 can be, well, yeah, we fell in love with Shedeur. We were big fans. We wanted to go get Shedeur Sanders. If you trade back up, I think it's a harder sell in that spot too, but I'm definitely not letting him drop past 20. There's no chance. You need the quarterback. You need a quarterback of the future. You're stuck where you are right now.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now. All right. Coming up here in about 5 minutes. We do it every night at 8:40. We're going to talk to Christopher Price of the Boston Globe about where the Patriots stand, who they might go in the draft, and get a feel for the team drafted at number 4. That's coming your way again, right at 8:40. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan. Of the Boston Globe, and he joins us now. How's it going?
I'm doing well, Jake. How you doing, man?
I'm doing really good. I think this is a much necessary conversation because the Patriots are in an interesting spot, Christopher. It's not a normal spot because it feels like, obviously, you're off the quarterback market. I mean, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders have no interest. But drafting at 4, are you basically sitting here waiting with, like, fingers crossed that either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter fall into your lap?
Yeah, I think the more realistic expectation right now is Travis Hunter. Really, for me, the Giants are kind of the wild card team at this point because you get the feeling, you know, the bright lights of Broadway, you know, someone like Travis Hunter would fit with a team like the Giants. The team needs a little juice, a little bit of oomph. They might decide to forego the quarterback and you know, go after Travis Hunter. But if you're New England, if you land one of those two guys, even with the question you have along the offensive line and maybe the wide receiver depth, you still feel pretty good about, you know, the way the first round shook out.
Now, if let's just play it out. If there was no guy there, right, it's not Abdul Carter, it's not Travis Hunter. Is there a name in mind? Is there somebody that you like as the number four that maybe has popped up as maybe a little bit of a favorite?
The two guys you keep hearing about more and more, if both of those guys are off the board, are Will Campbell and Mason Graham. Obviously, Will Campbell, there are questions about his arm length. A lot of people up here aren't all that thrilled at the idea of Will Campbell at four. He's probably a bit of an overdraft. If you want to trade back, say you do a swap with the Raiders and you pick up a day two pick, you could probably get him maybe anywhere from like 6 to 8. The other thing is that, you know, if you do want to go after Mason Graham, how does he fit along that defensive front? Because you just signed Milton Williams to a big deal. Is he a complimentary player? Or are you, you know, of the mind that, you know, you want to kind of, you know, let him sit a little bit? So I think really, if you miss out on those two guys, those are the two guys that we're hearing most about. I think some of it may, you know, still kind of play out because they're still sniffing around Stephon Diggs. And I think that if they sign Stephon Diggs, he's no Travis Hunter. But, you know, you feel a little bit better about going after a tackle if you're able to bolster that wide receiver room. So there's a lot of possibilities if you're the Patriots and both Hunter and Carter are not there.
You talk about the wide receiver room, so I have to ask. Is there a push right now to get Drake May more weapons? Because it doesn't feel like maybe free agency has panned out your way. Is the draft somewhere they're looking? I don't know. First round might be a little bit of a stretch for a wide receiver, but maybe even in the second?
Yeah, that's all that they're talking about up here, really. And, you know, it's funny. I talk to football guys about, you know, guys who coach, guys who play in the league, and I kind of try and approach it very soberly and say, well, you know, they need to build from the inside out. They need to follow the Philadelphia model, and they need to, you know, do their due diligence when it comes to going after guys like Campbell and Graham and maybe Kenneth Grant. And, you know, you look at some of the other offensive tackles lineup, and almost to a man, they all say, yeah, but did you see the film on Travis Hunter? You know, there is a clamor up here amongst a lot of folks that they need more help for Drake May. You know, and you really hit it on the head right there when you talk about the fact that it's been underwhelming, at least on the offensive side of the ball. They were able to really shore up the defense on all three levels, but they really didn't get an offensive skill position player. Mac Hollins, a kid out of Buffalo, I think is a nice addition, but he doesn't really have that level of oomph. He's not the kind of guy that other defensive coordinators have to worry about or game plan for. So there is a clamor to add on the offensive side of the ball through the draft. And, you know, again, that could be, you know, Travis Hunter in a part-time role. You could add a tackle, although, again, he's not a skill position guy. But, you know, maybe it's a second-round guy. Maybe it's, you know, you trade back in the top 10 and you take Tet McMillan. So all sorts of options for New England there when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. But, yeah, that's going to be the focus for them in this draft.
Would there be any consideration from New England to potentially trade up to ensure that you get a Travis Hunter? Or is it, again, just sort of if he falls to us, he falls to us, and if not, we'll sort of go from there?
You never say never, but I would be shocked if the Patriots decided to trade up into the top three. You know, as you mentioned, I know you mentioned earlier, it's, you know, there's no need for a quarterback, so you kind of cross Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward off the board. Carter is a guy who is, you know, Carter and Hunter are the two guys who you kind of tear up the need sheet and say, okay, let's go after them because they're special players. But I don't think there's necessarily any inclination for this current team to trade up. I think they might be inclined to trade down, or the other option is you trade up out of 38 into the lower stages of the first round and get in on that, what I'm sure is going to be a run on tackles there. So if you take a wide receiver at four, let's say if you take, you know, you trade back, let's say to 6 and you take Tet McMillan, then you can trade up from 38 to the later stages of the first round and maybe go get someone like a Josh Connolly or Simmons, or, you know, you have options, but I would be shocked ultimately to answer your question if they decided to trade up from 4.
Christopher Price of the Boston Globe with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'll toss it out to you, Christopher. Is it just Travis Hunter is the fan favorite? Is there another name that creates that same sort of buzz? Or really, is it, like, we've talked a couple of names here. Is Travis the leader out of it, I guess, is the overall question.
Yeah, he is, because he's not only a guy. I mean, I'll say this, and I've said this to a few people, but I'll say this, Jake. Travis Hunter is the only guy who's available this year in either free agency or the draft where you look at him and you can say, all right, well, if we miss on him, we can go get another player just like him. He's completely different. He's unique. The Shohei Ohtani fan in me, you know, loves the idea of Travis Hunter in New England. Now, is he a cornerback or is he a wide receiver? I thought it was interesting that the Patriots decided to go out and acquire a really talented cornerback in Carlton Davis to pair him with Christian Gonzalez. So do you have him on the field? Do you have Travis Hunter on the field for, you know, all those defensive snaps as a slot corner? Or do you move Carlton Davis inside? Or do you flip it and just make him a pure offensive player? So I think when you're looking for just excitement, juice, you know, because that's some of what this franchise needs. You know, they haven't been relevant for the last couple of years. And Travis Hunter there, 17 games, gives him a little flash, gives him a little excitement. You know, he's going to sell some jerseys. You know, you can put him on the cover of the, you know, the game day program, and, you know, you're going to move some product. So that's the name for a lot of people when they look at this draft that's kind of jumping off the page at them.
I got a pseudo-related draft question for you. What in the hell is happening with Joe Milton? Hey, what is the asking price? Are teams interested? I'm very curious.
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation out there. They're not aggressively shopping him, but they are having conversations with some other teams about the possibility of a day 2 pick for him, which would represent fantastic value for a guy you got in the 6th round last year and a guy who is, you know, if he ends up hanging around here, is probably going to be the number 3 quarterback again. So, look, he's a personal favorite of mine. I love the Joe Milton experience. I love everything about watching Joe Milton. Every single story, I did a story on him this past summer for the Boston Globe, really a deep dive. And in almost every single conversation I had with people about Joe Milton was, you know, you're not going to believe this, but I once saw Joe do fill in the blank. So he's a dynamite physical specimen. He really is. And I think watching him in training camp last year and then watching him compete against, you know, 3rd and 4th stringers from Buffalo at the end of the season last year in that regular season game, he's come a long way. He really has. He had problems with his accuracy, real problems with his accuracy when he stepped on the field for the first time, you know, in the spring and the summer camps. You know, by that last regular season game, and again, he was going against 3rd and 4th stringers, so you take it all with a grain of salt, but he's certainly shown a level of progression that, you know, raised some eyebrows around the league. So ultimately, again, to answer your question, there's some conversations out there for a day 2 pick. I don't know how serious they are, but you know, there's some chatter out there about moving Joe Milton.
All right, Christopher, I'll get you out of here with this. Your number 1, what exactly you think is going to happen? Who do the Patriots take it for?
I think if Travis Hunter is there, they run the card to the podium and they don't look back. If Travis Hunter is not there, I think they're either going to go with Will Campbell or Mason Graham as part of maybe a trade back to the middle to late stages of the top 10, and they'll be able to pick up another pick along the way. But they got to come out of this with a surefire wide receiver and an offensive tackle. And I know there've been, you know, a kind of a dalliance with Cam Robinson, but they need to shore up both those positions in this draft.
All right, Christopher, I appreciate you carving out the time for us. I look forward to maybe talking again sometime if some stuff changes before the draft, at least once, if not a couple more times. Again, appreciate it, man.
Love it. Sounds good, Jake. Take care. We'll talk soon.
You too. Christopher Price of the Boston Globe joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I think that went just about the way I expected. It felt like New England is in love with Travis Hunter. That's what they need. Because, I mean, guys, come on. You shore up the defense, and you have Vrabel as your head coach. Makes a ton of sense. And plus, I mean, Christopher didn't hold back, right? They need weapons for Drake May. They need them. Travis Hunter kind of fills 2 roles. We know that is the Shohei Ohtani of football here, but, like, yeah, he fills 2 roles, and it's a weapon as well as a very good defensive piece in one. I'm not shocked at all to hear that. I do think it's interesting. Enough trade back talk happening in Boston and just New England in general. A lot of, maybe we could just move back if the guys aren't there. Mason Graham, Tet McMillan's an option. I do like it. Will Campbell, a lot of different things that I think Vrabel probably has got his eyes wide open staring at right now. Again, good stuff out of Christopher Price. We'll probably talk to him at some point later on here, coming up towards the draft as well, especially if we can see some changes happening either in New England or with the draft experience at all. But tomorrow, talk Titans, top of the draft. Are they really bought into Cam Ward? Same time, 8:40, we'll talk to Terry McCormick, covers the Titans over there in Nashville. We'll see what he has to say. But coming to you in about 6 minutes at the top of the hour, as we always do at 9 o'clock, we'll get a grip. Hey, it's Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.